Okay,
Okay.
and we are live. Okay. Good evening, Frank. Good evening, Ismar.
Hi.
Hi. I'm laughing so much at Frank because I'm stealing his taglines.
Well, no, that's one of my taglines. They're our taglines. The breed of vocabulary. No, for the record, I think we should document this for the record. So we have two Zoom licenses, and we're dividing the meetings between the two of us. And Crème Brûlée is officially Janita's meeting. I am a mere participant. I have no. Well, I can, but in this particular instance, I do not have any rights. I have only obligations. Of course, there is a backdoor to all of this, but I am a victim of your
Victim.
entertainment.
Wouldn't say it's a victim.
But it's a very strange feeling not to be in the control room. Yeah.
Yes.
It's a very strange feeling.
Yes.
Oh, no doubt I'll get used to it. But there you go.
Okay. So for today, we are going to talk about local magic. Okay, so you have to use your senses to remember a market, your favorite market, or some place that you enjoyed very much. So it can be a market, it can be a shop, it can be a cafe, but use your senses to tell me about this place. Okay, what does it smell like when you first walk into this place? Is it colorful? What kind of colors can you see? Is it soft colors, warm colors? Is it bold? Is it busy? What is it like? And the sounds that fill this space. Okay. Is there music playing? Is there laughter? Clicking of cups? I'm thinking about restaurants. You can hear the forks on the plates or the knives on the plates as well. And is there a specific corner in this place, or maybe a person that always makes you smile? So maybe someone you always see at this market or the shop or the cafe that always makes you smile, or maybe a special spot that you quite enjoy. So tell me about the market or the shop or the cafe.
Does it have to be that?
Maybe something else.
Okay, Isma, age before beauty.
Okay, Ismar, tell me about your favorite market or maybe a favorite coffee shop.
Some weeks ago, I told Frank about favorite place, coffee shop that I usually go in my city in Campo Grande. The owners are a couple. I don't know them, but some employee told me that the man is French and the woman is a Brazilian. And they have the cafe for more than 5 years. I don't remember exactly. He told me, but I forgot. The waiter's leader was called Pablo, but Pablo quit the job and we moved to another city in the south of Brazil and quit his wife as well. The last time I went there, I knew this something about him. Then Pablo told me some things about the place that normally it's not possible just going there. I would say that the place that I attended around 4 years, I found it by chance. It's in the corner in a rich neighborhood. I say that 40 years ago, when I really lived here, when I was a young man, it was essentially a residential neighborhood, and today it's commercial, but it's I would say a rich area. The bad point that it was the neighborhood that we had the most beautiful house in my city, and today it's completely different. Many restaurants, doctors' offices, and maybe some fashion house. And the name is La Parisienne. There is a French decoration. Everything it's was made with carelessness and probably not so much money, but a substantial amount of money. And there are many objects and signposts that remember or refer to France, but it's interesting. Many times I asked the waiters if someone speak a little bit of French, but till now I never found anyone that who speak at least a sentence in French. And normally I go there. Yeah, of course, if it's a coffee shop, the smell of coffee is normal there. It's a routine. And the menu is very interesting because it's varied and they have their names in French. But sometimes it's very crowded. For example, Sunday morning. It's not a good time to go there or at the end of the day because they close 7 p.m. It's very crowded and they don't open on Monday. That's the free day for employees. Probably I know a half dozen of coffee shop here, but it's my favorite. But I don't know, I don't go there very often, maybe once or twice a month. It's not a place that is very located for me. It's maybe almost 10 kilometers from my home. And when I am at my mom's home, I'm in the middle of the way. But when I'm at my mom's home, it's like a jury because I have to pay attention to my mom. Then I think it's not fair to leave her alone and go to the coffee shop because he likes coffee and cappuccino, not coffee, just cappuccino. But she doesn't like to go out to have a cappuccino. She prefers to have it at home. But once a week, we prepare a cappuccino for us, and she loves cappuccino as well. And I traveled 9 days and I returned last Saturday. And not in Bolivia, but in the first Brazilian city at the border. But the name is Corumbá. I found there very good coffee as well. In fact, two very good coffee shops. But La Parisienne is the best. When I was in Curitiba, another city I lived in 2020, I had more than one favorite coffee shop there, but here I have just one.
Okay.
I think it's that. And normally I only have a cappuccino or a sweet or salty piece of pie and stay there. When I go there, I'm not in a hurry. I stay there around 1 hour and an hour and something. And I have a book, I read a little. But when it's crowded, I think it's not fair to stay there using a table and some other clients waiting for a table. Yeah.
But you were there first, so first come, first serve.
Sorry?
You were there first, so first come, first serve. Now you have your turn, they can have theirs later.
Yeah, but I think it's not fair to spend a long time there, and some clients are so eager to have a table.
Okay. So you mentioned that their menu is in French as well. Do they sell French dishes, like French food?
Of course, we have some the same things that we have here in general, but something is different. They have intention to retract the French patisserie. I don't know if there is this word
Like
in English.
pastries.
Yeah, like
Pastries
pastries.
or patisseries.
And then another place that I like a lot is the municipal market in Curitiba. It's very interesting. There are maybe three coffee shops there, and one is my favorite. And that's a place that you can buy herbs, nuts, meat, fruits, cereals. And there are a lot of restaurants, and even in the organic restaurant there. And if you want, you can even buy a pair of shoes or running shoes. No, in fact, there are four coffee shops there. Four, yeah. That's a place that I like a lot. And it's possible to buy some fishes for your aquarium. They have a enormous amount of different things to buy, and you spend your money. It's at downtown at Curitiba. It's one of my favorite places as well.
How often do you go to this market?
No. It's in another city.
Oh,
In the
in another
city
city.
I lived it, previously.
Okay.
In the beginning of the year, I went there, in Curitiba. I suppose I went twice to the supermarket. Once to have a coffee, and another to have lunch at the organic restaurant.
Okay. Frank, tell us about your favorite market or your favorite, I don't know, you ask, can it be something else?
So, I'm going to take you to a restaurant which is about 5 or 6 kilometers away from Kleeborg. And this restaurant is by invitation only.
Okay.
So, there's a little village of about 50 inhabitants nearby called Pfaffenbronn. So it's a very German name, Pfaffenbronn. And in this village is a holiday village of about of 100 holiday homes, and it's run by, or it was run or managed by, a Dutch couple. And we met this couple about, 20 years ago, when we still lived in Wissembourg itself. And he is an interior designer by trade, and she manages the finances. They own several properties in the area, so they made enough money through working in this holiday village to acquire certain properties. They have a house in Amsterdam, or they had a flat in Amsterdam, and they sold it at just the right time because the property market there was overheating. And instead of pushing the price down, you actually bid the price up in order to secure a property. So they sold something, and they made an absolute killing on what they had, what they owned there, and bought something much cheaper. And the profits that they made out of that, they invested in buying another property around the corner from here. Anyway, so this restaurant is exclusive. It's by invitation only. And what you do is you drive up a very steep hill, all very forested. And at the top of the hill, it's sort of like a mountain pass. Well, it's about 400 meters high, so not really a mountain. And to the right is a restaurant, sort of nestled on a junction. And so if there's just, trees around there and a parking space, and it's all very idyllic. You cross over the pass, and then you come, and all of a sudden, the Northern Vosges Mountains just open up in front of you, and it is a vista that is, and I've been there so many times, it's just breathtaking. Rolling hills as far as the eye can see. So you drive past this holiday village, and you sort of admire the scenery, the green, and it's tranquil. It is absolutely peaceful and quiet. You could hear a pin drop. You drive up, park the car outside their chalet or house or whatever. So it's sort of like a, I don't know what you call them in South Africa. If you call them townhouses, sort of like wedges of property slapped together like a sandwich, in the UK, you might call them townhouse. Sorry, yeah, Janita?
Yes, the townhouse.
Townhouse, yeah. So they have these sort of townhouses, and they're sort of they have a slab. And you get out of the car, and you walk down some very, very steep steps, and it's all sort of bushy and green. And there's a little terrace outside the door, table there, and so on a warm summer's day, you can sit out there and enjoy a glass of wine. And then you come in to this house. And you can just tell it's got interior design to it. It's nicely decorated, nice pictures hanging on the wall, clean, comfortable furniture everywhere. It's all, a lot of it is IKEA. Question to you, IKEA, are they in South Africa?
No, I know what it is, but I know it's not in South Africa.
How do you live? Okay, so IKEA furniture. But all very tastefully done. And it's all open plan. So you come in, and to the right is sort of like a nice, long, comfortable sofa, and then an armchair, a small coffee table, art books piled high everywhere. In the corner, sort of a funny looking TV. And then another table with more magazines and art books piled up, nice brown carpet on the floor. It's all a bit 70s, 80s. It's a bit dated, but it works. And then to the left is an open plan kitchen. In the middle is a staircase that takes you up to the top floor, where they have their bedrooms and the bathroom. And then to the left, you have a single cell kitchen units, so hanging units and base units, and this is the kitchen. And then there's an electric hob with four, three, two, three, two or three, maybe three rings that you can put pots on. There's an oven and a small mini fridge, so all white and gray, a nice round table, directly to the door leading to a really, really nice terrace. Again, you can sit there and it's like being on holidays. You look into the hills, there's big trees, there's big pine trees everywhere, neighbor's house sort of visible but discreetly tucked away. Nice sort of a lawn. And then you sit at this round table, and they have three bronze candlesticks in the middle, probably about 40, 50 centimeters high, with nice big candles. And then they have some sort of office light clamped to this table just to give it some extra light. And then you are served dinner. The man knows how to cook. And they know how to drink as well. They're Dutch.
Okay.
He has a very close, or both have a very close affinity to Indonesia. So his cooking is Indonesian. A lot of it is Indonesian. And it's not just that the food is exceptionally tasty. Yeah, it's also the fact that he knows how to present it. It's always your eyes eat before your mouth starts chewing. I mean, it is an absolute feast. And it's quite simple cooking, and he does it. You sit in, we sit there, and we start with a couple of beers, and sort of he's at the kitchen, at the stove, cooking away. And I mean, the man, it's really, really tiny. Yeah, it's a tiny place, and he's got everything prepped up, and he has all these little dishes with all the ingredients all set up. And then he just sort of throws it in one step after another, and then he puts it on the plate, all nicely arranged, and it just tastes to die for. And you just watch him do it, and it's just pure heaven. But we move on to wine, and they're the sort of people that, even if you don't want to drink, they don't really accept it. They don't listen. So you've got to really pace yourself. And then, of course, it's an unwritten law here in France that you do not go before coffee has served. You could be standing or sitting on your last legs. You could be so dog tired. You could be really in bad shape. But law is you get coffee. Sorry, you get your main course, and then you get something sweet, and then you get some coffee, and then you are allowed to leave. The funny thing about this couple, Tia and Henna, so Tia, his wife, and Henna, the husband, and they're both in. I mean, the man is, I think he's 78 now. Fit as a fiddle. I mean, the man is an ox. He's still renovating another property in Wissembourg, a really big one as well. They've been at it for 2 years. He came to us for dinner one evening. We try to match his cooking, but we do as best as we can. And then we cooked, I don't know, I can't remember what it was. We did a main course. And then we served some dessert. And then we were going to dessert, serve some cheese. And he looked at us and he said, You do not do it in this order. And my wife and I looked at each other and said, well, that's how it's done in the UK, and that's how it's done in Germany. They said, no, not in France. You serve the cheese after the main course, you serve the cheese, and if you are a halfway civilized person, you will open a bottle of Bordeaux with the cheese. After that comes the dessert, and then comes the coffee, which is usually an espresso. And so we did that once and never again. And it sort of makes sense to have something savory before sweet and not the other way around. It's very difficult to explain this, but that's, you sort of get accustomed to it.
Yes.
Anyway, if I have an early day, I'm sort of sitting at their table and I'm looking at the clock on the wall, and they're thinking, I need to go home. When are we going to get coffee? And then they sort of you stagger up the steps to the car park, and then you sort of hurl yourself into the car, and it's a really steep downhill descent. You hope and pray that there is no police check anywhere, because you definitely know that you are over the limit,
Yes.
and then you go home. And it's paradise. It is absolutely paradise. The one thing that sort of spoils these evenings is that Henne can talk for not just the Netherlands and France, he talks for all of Europe. But
Okay.
he's very well versed in European monarchical history, and he can tell you all the kings and queens of the Netherlands and what they did and who they slept with and what children they had and why they had it and so on and so forth. It was like, very graphic, as if he'd been there himself. And Tia, his poor wife, she just sort of she zones out because A, she can't hear it, she can't get a word in edgeways, and the rest of us are sort of hanging on for dear life because, this is like heavy going. A really good meal, his lectures on monarchies in Europe, etc., etc. So, there you go. But like I said, this is an exclusive restaurant. It's by invitation only. Yeah. So,
Yes. How do you get an invitation?
oh, you speak with me.
No. Okay, let's ask this. How did you get your first invitation to go there?
Well, it was actually quite funny because when we first moved here 20 years ago, I'll show this to you tomorrow. We lived in a house that is what we would call a listed building. So, it what well, you couldn't change anything without permission,
Okay.
and they and the proper the property owners, not him but somebody else, they wanted to repaint the house. Because they'd been renovated, completely gutted and renovated inside, and then they wanted to paint the outside walls. And they had to get clearance that the paint that they wanted to use was okay. It had to come from some ministry in Paris. Nothing
Wow.
local, nothing local here. No, it was decided by some person sitting in some forlorn office in the middle of nowhere in Paris, who decided whether the paint that they were going to apply to the exterior of our house that was built in the 1500s, what would be up to, would fit into the whole context. So we lived there, and Henne owned the building next door.
Okay.
And when we moved in, he knocked on the door and, said, well, I own the place next door. And we got into talking, and then they're very warm people. They like to entertain. There's always something happening. And he knows he can cook. Yeah. So the invitation was forthcoming fairly quickly. Yeah. You know.
Okay.
And because, and then we sort of we became friends, and we've helped each other move stuff around and talk about things, and we've been friends for 20 years.
Yes.
So it's but it's yeah, so that would be my very quiet, no sound, the senses of taste and smell, the tranquility of sitting outside on their terrace. I mean, you don't need to go away for a holiday anywhere. You just need to go 6 kilometers from where we live, and it's beautiful. It is absolutely beautiful. Yeah.
Yes.
So yeah, that would be my suggestion for this topic.
Okay. Okay, that's very nice. So while you were talking about your experience and how amazing this is, I changed my mind a couple of times
I think we
about
all
my
did.
place. Then I remember this place, then I remember that place. Yes, Ismar?
Frank, if I understood, you've been there just once, yeah?
No.
More than. No problem.
Five, six times a year, if not more. There was
Okay.
a time,
And,
there was a time actually when I was sort of there almost, twice a month. It was actually quite, but that was a particularly difficult time.
you told that the restaurant is very tiny, and how many people is it possible to stay in?
Well,
Maybe less than 10?
it's not a restaurant. I'm just selling it to you as a restaurant. It's actually a friend's house. And that's why, but he can cook like an angel. And it's by invitation only. So you have to be his friend in order to enjoy his cooking. Or I would say, if you're here, or if Janita and her family, say, come and you've got to meet Henna, and they will do something. Yeah. It's not a restaurant. It's just a friend who can cook really well. And that's, that's my ticket to life. Yes. Somebody who's a good cook. They're the way to my hut, to where my brain is through my stomach. Anyway, Janita. Janita, so tell us about your place.
Okay, let's just give a
Oh, he.
minute to Sara.
Okay.
Okay. Good evening, Sara.
Hi, good evening. How are you, everyone?
I'm fine.
I'm also very well, thank you. Okay, so Sara, we are talking about, I did send you the topic earlier this week with the markets. So I want you to think about your favorite market or maybe a shop or a cafe, where you have to use your senses. So what does this place smell like when you first walk in? And what colors do you see in this place? Is it colorful? Is it warm? Is it busy? And then also, what sounds fill this place? Is it people laughing? Is there music playing? Can you hear the clicking of glasses? And if there's a specific corner in this place that you enjoy very much, or maybe a person that you always see when you go there. Okay, so you can choose a market, a coffee shop, a restaurant, any place that comes to mind. So I'll give you a
Okay.
minute. I'll give you some time to think, and then I'll tell my story.
Yeah, I already baked. It's not a,
Okay.
yeah, it's
Okay.
not a specific store, but it's something similar.
Okay, that's okay. So tell us about this place.
So should I tell you generic information and you can guess, or no, directly to
No. We don't, we you have to explain, tell us about this place. What can you see? We don't have to guess anything.
Okay.
Okay.
So since I like bakeries a lot, and I like the bakeries that we have here in Saudi Arabia, especially Riyadh, so the decoration always is amazing. They always use a color that I love a lot, which is brown and beige color. And with all this like small brand of different kind of bakeries, but there's like a touch of colorful because all this topping and fruits that you see it above this bake that there's different kind of bakeries give a colorful touch to this place. Also, the smell, it's always like a fresh baked smell, and also the sound. So the sound, I find it like it's quiet. Even the people there, they are not like loudly shouting or talking together, but I think the sound more is like the sound when you're opening and closing the oven. So, and also the sound of grabbing this kind of bakeries and put it in bag or put it in books and close it and give it to the customer. I don't have a specific place. I love to try different places, but I try to avoid it these days. So yes, it's a lot of carb, but it's very delicious. You can't just ignore it when you see it. You should just try it.
So is this bakery close to where you work or close to where you stay?
So unfortunately, the when I the where I work, there's a lot of bakeries, a
Oh.
lot. So the first two weeks, I was like every day I went there and I take a croissant or something and with a flat white. Until I realized after 2 weeks, no, this is wrong. I should try it once a month, not like every day. But even if it's not like because we have plenty of bakeries, you will find it easily in your world. For like if I'm driving a car and looking there and there, I will find the one store that I didn't try it before.
Okay. Frank, do you have a question?
Do when Sarah mentioned a bakery,
Savory clues.
I hadn't even got that far. I just find it difficult for some strange reason where bread is so important in France and in Germany. I cannot associate Saudi Arabia with a bakery. But of course, bread is also important in Arabic cuisine. It's all very different. So, Sarah, can you try and describe what this bakery or a bakery looks like? Is it a modern building or is it something old-fashioned with traditional Arabic designs and the tiles and so on? I mean, can you try and paint a picture? Because I
Yes.
really, really find this, challenging.
Yes. So maybe I mentioned before that I went to Paris last summer, and it's easier to find and like an old store that it's like since like my around 50 years, for example. So and with this unique and old-fashioned decoration, but it's not the same here. So it's not the bread, actually. It's not like that. It's important to us. No, it's like the other dishes that, especially if it's like either sweet or savory, but not a bread in specific. But all of these bakeries, actually, it's quite big, not small. Like it's like I can't see. Like it could be like. If I compare it with the places in France, it's like, this big stores in the Champs-Élysées, for example. It's like three or four stores together, so it's not like small. And also, it's all modern with all this modern decoration. So there is nothing related to actual our culture now. And most of it's either it's served either French bakery or Italian. Some Italian bakeries. No, nothing related to because we don't have actually. But some of the stores are creative. They can actually give a touch. So I found a store that make a cinnamon. I don't know what it's called, but this roll with the cinnamon in it.
Yes,
So they
Cinnabon.
use yes. They actually modified and make a new version, and they actually use a date sauce. So they don't use like a caramel or chocolate. There's like a, but yeah, date sauce. So they try to make like a local touch, but you will not find it that not that a lot. But actually, they serve like the classic kind of bakeries, and most of them actually, I know even one bakery, it's very successful in the last 3 years. She went actually to France and take like a diploma for 6 months or around less than a year, and then she opened her bakery, and also she bring like a chef from France also to like train the different staff. And it's one of this actually successful bakeries, and she had like this last 3 months she opened her third branch in Riyadh. So because it's like something that everyone like it, everyone it's like and very profitable business, and I wish if I can do even le like because I don't like to do anything related to the do, but I wish to it took like because it's relief and also it's delicious and like good. But we have like something that I don't find it a lot. It's bagels, the bagel bread. So I can't find it a lot here instead in Riyadh especially. So I can't find it in view stores. It's not like you know it. You need to the round bread. We called it bagel.
Bagels,
Bagel, yes.
yeah.
Bagels, yes.
Yes. And maybe it's my next business if I know how to make it.
I was going to say you could try making it yourself.
Yes. But
Yeah.
not these days. I try to cut off the scarf.
Bagels is not something that's very popular in South Africa, but you can find it like at Woolworths, and then some of the supermarkets that we go to, they also sell it. And then there's just one coffee shop, it's called Mug and Bean. They sell bagels with like a breakfast bagel or a lunch bagel and all kinds of topics, but it's not very common.
Actually, it's common to have a bagels restaurant, so we have like also plenty of it. But I can't find the you know the plain sandwich itself, so that I can fill it in home. This is the thing that I can't find it.
Okay.
Yes.
We can buy the plain ones and put our own
Ah.
toppings on it. Yes.
Just to jump the question queue here a bit. Have you found your pretzel yet?
I'm not allowed to eat it, but there's two
Oh
places
my
that sell it.
goodness, no. I will give you special dispensation.
I will have a cheat day. If I see one, I will have a cheat day. But I know where to get it. So Woolies definitely has them, and then the supermarket in the mall also has them.
Well, how can you
Yes.
not eat a pretzel?
Carbs.
Carbs.
Yes,
Yes,
the
okay.
carbs. Yes, the
Okay.
carbs, because your body transfers carbs to sugar, and
Yes.
yes,
Yeah, that's
unfortunate.
it is poison. It is poison.
Yes,
Okay.
but I've been watching everything I eat, so if I have one cheat day, it should be okay. Well, not just a cheat day, just a cheat pretzel.
Yeah. Well, as we say in France, tout est possible avec modération. Everything is possible with moderation. So,
Yes. Yes.
I won't tell anybody that you're munching on three pretzels.
No, not three. I'll just have one.
Okay.
Okay. So a place that I was thinking about, we have a market here once a month, and it's called Goeiehoek. So Goeiehoek is right next to a farm. There's a small hill, But on this place where they have it, there's a big barn. So they would take the barn, clear out the barn, and then they would have like mini stalls on the inside that sells all kinds of goodies. And on the outside, you can put up your gazebo or your tent or your caravan or whatever you have where you sell your things from. Bring your own table and chairs and whatever. And there's a lot of food. There's a lot of people. There's a lot of traditional food that we normally have. Something that's called vetkoek and mince meat. So the vetkoek, to English, it translates directly to fat cake. So basically, it's bread dough that's boiled in, oh no, not boiled, fried in oil. And then it's cut open and the mince meat is placed on the inside. That's like a traditional dish. Then pancakes, you'll get sugar cinnamon pancakes everywhere. There's at least two or three people who will sell pancakes. Then boerewors rolls, so like a, how can I explain, like a hot dog, but not with a hot dog,
Sausage.
a sausage, yes, like a decent sausage, a beef sausage. And then they also make a tomato and onion relish that they would put onto this boerewors roll. Sometimes they have kebabs. You'll find meat kebabs, maybe beef or chicken kebabs. And something they call chip sticks. So basically, they have a whole potato that they would slice. It looks like a spiral when they are done. They would s put a stick in it, and then they would also fry it in oil and then add spice to it. So that's called chip sticks. That's also something that's very common. Oh, and curry and rice. That's like the most famous bazaar food or market food.
Curry and
If
rice.
yeah, yes, curry and rice. If you go to the market that we went to on Friday evening, that was one of the main dishes, curry and rice.
I'm just looking up because I have to scroll through a million messages to get to what I was wanting. So you showed this. You sent me the Speis card, or Speis card,
Which means menu,
menu,
space card.
Speis card, and you've got the Burgerrolle for 40 rand. The hot
Yes.
dogs, and then so curry and rice. So that's the rice curry. Okay,
Yes.
the pannekoek is the pancake.
Yes.
That's actually quite cheap for 7 rand. That's
Yes.
okay. And
And
then,
it's quite a big one, and then they would roll it up into.
okay. And then you have here pap and kalings. So what is pap and kalings?
Pap en kajings. That
Okay.
is maize meal porridge, and
Ah, okay.
then like pork cracklings.
Pork crackling. Oh,
Yes.
well, that, oh, that's lethal. And then,
Yes.
okay, and then you've got the outgebratete Farkfett. Okay, there's that. And then,
The
okay, so
uitgebreide That's the
that's the mince meat in.
No. That is the fat that they actually get from making the cracklings.
Oh, okay, right, okay.
Okay.
And then you've got the vetkoek, groot en vetkoek klein.
Yes, the big vetkoek and the small
Right, okay, right, okay.
vetkoek. Groot
And
is big and small is klein.
groot is, okay, I have to pronounce, I have to, so, groot, okay.
Groot.
So,
You
and
have to
then,
roll your R.
yes, we'll get there. And then you showed a picture of some mulled wine.
Oh, yes, that was delicious.
Was that the first time you'd had it?
Yes. Yes. So the lady, they actually called it
Or
Glühwein,
Glühwein.
like
That's
Glühwein,
the German word for
the
Glühwein.
German, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I actually checked the spelling, how they spelled it. So the lady who has or who does these new things, this is quite new. We have a place that's called a pit stop. Basically, it's a bar at church. You can buy beer and wine. Yes. So this was when I first saw this, I was like dumbstruck. But I'm used to it by now, but that's a way that the church makes money.
Money. Yes,
Okay,
drink,
so
drink, eat and drink and confess later, yeah.
basically. So they do have the bar. They sell the cool drinks from there, and they also have a variety of beers, cider, wine, and they also have whiskey and brandy, those kind of things, gin as well. And so this lady started this with the Caprinas last year. So she made the Caprinas for the Christmas market. So the Christmas market is usually in November sometime. So she made the Caprinas, and then for the winter market, she also made them. But then she thought, it is a little bit cold, so she's going to see if she can do something new. And then she started with this year, so she started with the Glühwein. And it was very nice. And what was actually also nice about this market in particular, they have bonfires. I send you a picture of that as well. So there's little benches that they put around the bonfire, and you can sit down because it's winter now, and it's the winter market at night, when it's usually the coldest. So there's bonfires where you can sit down next to the fire. You can eat your food, just chat with your family, drink your wine. So that was actually very, very nice. I
Okay,
really.
so different cultures and so on respected, but I'm certain that Sarah does not know what mulled wine is, and I'm probably reasonably certain that Isma does not know what mulled wine is. Can you describe it? And I'm because we drink it like anything in winter here, where it's a little bit colder than your winter. It's central heating in a cup or in a glass.
Yes.
Can you describe it? And can you tell us what she actually put into this mulled wine?
Don't know what she put in, but it tasted very close to the recipe that you sent to me. So obviously there's cinnamon, there's aniseed, there's cloves, and ginger as well, and orange juice, a little bit of lemon juice, just a little
Okay.
bit. So
Okay.
it's like and then you boil all of these ingredients together, and it kind of reminds me of chai tea. It might be the cinnamon or maybe the nutmeg, the cinnamon or the nutmeg, but it's kind of like a chai tea, but with wine.
Yes, it's hot wine. It's a hot wine with all
It's
the
hot wine.
with the
Yes.
spices in it. Yes.
Yes. So you taste the wine and you taste the spices. You can also smell it. It smells amazing. The house smelled like mulled wine for 2 days at least.
Yes, but I mean, just imagine it. It's a cold winter's day here. It could be around 0 degrees. It could be -2, -3 degrees. It could be even colder. There might be snow outside.
Yes.
You go to a Christmas market and you drink mulled wine at the Christmas market, or you come home and we basically have a vat of mulled wine, a slow cooker of mulled wine permanently sort of bubbling away. And it's just this intense warm smell
Yes.
that is just cozy. It's coziness and central heating in a glass. So when I saw that picture, I was tickled pink. Oh, finally, because I sent you this recipe and I was wondering, when
When are you actually going to do this?
are they going to do this? Because in 4 weeks' time, winter will be over and you'll be heading towards spring, et cetera, et cetera. And then you have to wait a year because no one drinks mulled wine at 38 degrees in the summer.
Yes,
Yeah. But
definitely not.
so I'm glad you got that one. I'm glad you got that.
Yes. So after I actually taste, or I actually had some at the winter market, and then my mom also had it, and Jean didn't have it. He didn't taste it. So he smelled it, but he didn't try it. So that is why I ended up making it on Saturday as well. But it was quite cold as well, so we had soup for dinner and then soup and wine.
Soup and wine and wholemeal bread.
Yes.
What did Jean say to it? Did he like it?
Not very much, no. He didn't like it. So I still have some, but I'll have it on the weekend.
Bring yourself over in winter and you'll be drinking the stuff non-stop in the Christmas markets, yeah.
In the Christmas markets, yes. Okay, so let's do a funny question. My magic tricks. Okay, if this place that you described were a person, what kind of personality would it have? So this place that you described, if it had a personality, or if it was a person, what kind of personality would it have?
Well, for my place, I feel it will be like an old woman or man. They all like with the gray hair and a smiley face, and they are actually happy about what they are doing and about how they are they enjoy it actually, and how they bake and serve others. Yes, I feel like this vibe.
That actually reminds me, there's a fudge, like a fudge shop in Durban, and you can actually buy this fudge online and they deliver it at your house, but it's called Granny's Fudge or something, but she makes different flavors. There's like a banana flavor, there's a unicorn flavor, there's Turkish delight flavor. So now that you talk about the granny with the gray hair, I'm just imagining this lady and her place.
Yes.
Okay.
Unicorn fudge.
Yes, it's blue, pink, and yellow. And the flavor is a combination between a like a banana and a candy floss and a strawberry, but it's very light flavors, almost like cotton candy.
Whoa, that sounds sweet.
I will check the website. I will send it to you. It's actually very, very nice.
Does she send overseas to Europe? I
I don't know.
can ask.
That's we can do
Okay.
that.
I'd like a portion of unicorn fudge, please.
You can, and it's big pieces. So you get a big piece, or you can get half a piece. And then there's different ones to try.
Dentist recommendation included here.
Probably. And
Okay.
sugar tablets.
Sugar tablets, yeah. Okay.
Okay. Ismar, the place that you described, your coffee shop, if it was a person, what kind of personality would it have?
I haven't thought about how people personality would go there, but probably some kind of behaviors, because I never seen someone that got there, asked for an espresso and ate and drank it in a minute. I would say that people who go there, they're not in a hurry. They have some time to talk to their friend because most of people go with some company. And I would say that they aren't stressed. And even
Okay.
some people go there to make business. Sometimes I saw some people discussing. They have their computers, some papers, but it's not so often. Yeah, I
Okay.
think it's to go there, people are more world with themselves and not outside with other things. They go there to have good time.
Okay. Okay. So, Frank, tell us about your private restaurant personality. You gave us an idea of the host.
Well, it's very difficult to separate the host and the ambience of what I described,
Yes.
because it is a private home, and it is the host, and the two are inseparable from each other. So I would probably say it's something like a very generous volcano. The generosity is just it is almost overwhelming. It just sort of gently erupts from the minute you walk through the door to the minute you leave. It can be quite explosive at times because I sometimes cringe inwardly when he almost scolds his wife to say, "Look, Frank's glass is empty," or "Do this or do that." So he doesn't ask her. He almost commands her to do something, and I find that disturbing. And
Yes.
it's not the way you treat your partner, your wife. But yes, this is sort of like, Mount Vesuvius, sort of just it sort of erupts, and you have this constant flow of chatter and commands and food. It's almost like a circus, yeah. And you come out,
Yeah.
mentally, physically drained, but you go back knowing what's going to happen because the food is good, yeah.
Yes.
So, and the ambience is good, so generous to the hilt. Generous, yeah.
Yes. Okay.
And you?
Well, I'm thinking about the Goeiehoek Mark, so that's like a farmer's market. Definitely a farmer. A farming personality. But if I think of the winter market, the only thing that comes to mind is Santa Claus. I know it has nothing to do with Christmas, but just Santa Claus with his big red jacket, nice and warm. Something like cold on the outside and warm on the
There's a funny thing. So,
inside.
I was driving my wife to the airport on Sunday, and we were passing by a lake, sort of a fishing pond, And there was some sort of festival going on, local, local association festival. And you had these long benches like they did in that winter market and the tables. And I said, and we saw them pass. And I said to her, I said to my wife, I said, Janita sent me some pictures of a market that she went to on Sunday, on Friday evening at her church. And do you know what? They do it exactly as they do it here in France in the Alsace. You've got bums on benches, just like here. There's no difference.
That's good to
Yeah. So, it seems to be a universal phenomenon when you have these gatherings. It's a long bench, a long trestle table, and there's bums on the benches, and everyone's sitting there talking and
Yes.
eating and drinking. Yeah. So there you go.
Yes.
Yeah.
So during the Christmas market, that's obviously November, then it's very hot. So they get a very big tent, like a almost like a canopy to cover that whole area. And they have the same benches, same table, same benches. And they also have the pit stop. They have the bar, obviously selling a bit cooler drinks. And then, okay, that's okay, Ismar. Enjoy your evening. Bye bye.
About
So they put up this big tent. They also have the bar on the one side and then the benches and the tables right through.
So we know what to expect. Yeah. And you know what
Yes.
to expect here as well. The local
Yes.
village fete, bums on benches.
I have to say, the Christmas market is a lot bigger than the winter market. The winter market is more just focused on food, even though they have some stores where they sell items and things. But for the Christmas market, there's a whole cake setup, and there's endless pancakes and endless curry and rice, and a lot of stalls, a lot of places, a lot of people come to sell different things, gifts, Christmas decorations. Monica will have a lovely time.
Oh yes, her partner not so. Sarah, I have a question actually. So all this talk about Christmas is of course not part of your culture, but during Ramadan, can you describe the time when in the Ramadan period you are allowed to eat in the evenings after sunset? Is that with your family, or is that sort of like a big gathering in public? How do you do this? It's a clumsy. It's a clumsy question, I'm sorry. It's very
No, there.
spontaneous and badly formulated. I apologize, but I'm being ignorant here.
No, actually, it's a good, very good question because we usually, not usually, always, we gathering with my family and eat it as it's like the first meal, and it's like a lunch. And after that, anyone can go in his way, and if he needs to go to cafe or something. But because Ramadan, it's like 1 month, and it's about take care about others and be generous and this kind of thing, and it's encourage the good behavior. So usually in the big mosques, they do this kind of iftar. So they prepare for the people they cannot afford, or even if non-Muslim, they can come and to eat. So they prepared this. It's not like tables, but it can maybe it can in each mosque around 50 people or 70 people can eat, and some families they actually donate about food, so they can like prepare a dish or two and give it to this mosque, and they can also provide it to this. I can't say it's visitors; it could be Muslims and non-Muslims, and what. Actually, it's to be like organized. So it's we have like can say it's like something from the government that we can donate by money. So no need to like a lot of foods, no need to prepare. Now we can donate by monies. It's like for any meals. Like if I want to help for, let's say, 10 meals, I will give like around 100 rial. It's like 10 rial for each meal, this kind of things. So we don't go there because it's more for the people that cannot afford to having like this kind of food. Or some people actually, they are living alone. They don't have anyone to cook for them. And you know, after a time of fasting, you want to eat like a big meal to get the energy. So it can be like, I will not say poor people actually. No, the people that cannot afford to have like a big meal, or the people that are living alone. And it's all in my country, actually, it's all organized under the government actually standards and rules. And for us as a family, we eat at our home. But it's important actually to gather all of us in like in one table to eat.
So, when does the food preparation actually start? After sunset, or does somebody go into the kitchen and prepare the food during the
So,
fasting hours?
yes. So, again, it's depend on the family. So, some of the people, some of the families are big families, or they have like, it's important to have different dishes. So, they may be sometimes around 1 or 2 p.m. they start to cooking the food, and it be prepared around 6:30, because they will like prepare soup, they will prepare desserts, so main course and like the main meals. But for us, we believe that we don't need to eat too much, so it's important that we have like one kind of sweet with the coffee, the Arabic, actually it's a Saudi coffee. And also the soup is very important in our home, so we need like starting with the soup, sometimes salad, but not necessary. And also something not heavy. So some people are actually cooking heavy food like pasta, rice, or things. It's not good actually to start eating like it's like a breakfast actually. So we usually do things like you know, mini sandwich, mini burger, this kind of thing that easy to eat, but you will not feel that that's heavy after you eat it. And there will be like a dinner, but it's very late dinner, because actually in Ramadan period the our working hours change. So it's not 8 hours, it's 6 hours, and it starts late. It starts after 10 a.m. So that's why, because we all the night we are actually starting our nightlife. Yes, because and you can do this in the morning or the evening. And actually we eat late dinner. We called it suhoor, so it's like the last meal. It's around 1 p.m. and some people eat it before the sunrise, like it's around like 3 or 4 p.m. but we don't do it because we need to sleep, so we cannot sleep when we are full.
Oh, so just an illusion shattered. Because I thought, I just imagine some women going into the kitchen to prepare the food, and that the discipline required to fast and cook at the same
Yes.
time. I mean,
And
that
also
is
most of
that.
them actually want to work. So they want to work. They go to the work and they start preparing and yeah, it's a lot.
Wow.
But to be honest with you, all of you guys, so now we have like the restaurants. So we don't fast.
Yes.
Yes. We
You
don't
order
cook
from the
that often.
restaurant.
Yes. So maybe we cook like one dish, and especially the soup, because it's important. And maybe we ordered 1 or 2.
Okay.
Yes.
We live and learn.
Yes. So I think it was about 2 years ago. I was working during Ramadan, but our classes also shifted. So I had morning classes until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Then the whole academy closed until 8 o'clock at night. So you started working at 8 o'clock again until 1 a.m. in the morning, or sometimes 2 a.m., depending on how many students you had in that at those times, or how many classes. So I had a class at 12, so this was already at 1 o'clock in Saudi Arabia, 1 a.m. in the morning. And the student said, "Oh, please, can you just hold on? I am just quickly in the supermarket." So I'm like, that late at night. I'm just quickly in the supermarket.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, whatever.
But it's not just only Ramadan.
Yes.
We like, especially Riyadh, it's like we have unsleep day. You will find people everywhere, every time. The supermarket 24 hours, the restaurants and the cafe 24 hours. It's everything.
So it's
Yes.
like New York, the city that
It's
never
like,
sleeps.
yes. You can easily go 4 a.m. and you will find actually one of the main roads that we have it. It's there like a jam and traffic.
Oh,
You can
wow.
see it. Yes. It's Riyadh. Riyadh. But maybe other city there are not.
Yes. So here in my town, well, we say they pick up the streets at 8 p.m. at night because there's no one on the roads. Nothing is open. Fast food like KFC, McDonald's, everything is closed
You,
at 8 o'clock.
even 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 the fast the hamburger joints, yeah.
Yes. Some
Wow.
restaurants will be open until 10 p.m. on the weekends a little bit later, but during the week, Monday to let's say Thursday, 8 o'clock. No, can't get pizza.
Okay. So I'm, as you know, I've been looking at these little clippets of South Africa as it
Yes.
is every day. No street lighting. So that
We do have in some places, not everywhere.
okay.
We have
So
one random street here somewhere close to where I live. The whole street has street lights, but all the rest has nothing.
wow. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
Which
some places.
might explain why nobody's out at 8 o'clock because it's probably pitch dark in winter
It's
and
dark.
probably yeah, okay.
So
Fair enough.
in the town just like 10 kilometers from here in Three Rivers, there you'll be able to find a place maybe to 9 o'clock, maybe 10 o'clock. And they have a Burger King and a KFC. They are usually open until 11, 12-ish.
So what happens on Valentine's Day? I mean, the restaurants here, they produce Valentine's Day menus, and you've got loved up couples, 200 loved up couples all enjoying an intimate a dinner à deux in a restaurant the size of a football stadium. And this is romantic. What do you people do for Valentine's Day? Do you stay at home or?
We usually stay at home, yes. So we don't really celebrate Valentine's Day.
God.
I think this year for Valentine's Day we had a barbecue,
Oh.
which is fine.
South
It's
Africa's answer.
February. It's hot. It's nice.
South Africa's answer is a barbecue. The English patch all the differences of the cup of tea. Sarah, what's the go-to food? First of all, do you have Valentine's Day in Saudi Arabia? Again, clumsy question.
Yeah, so it's well, it's not something official and not something that admit about it. And I, well, me and my family and the people that I know, we are not separate about Valentine on Valentine, but they actually there at Valentine Day, and you will find a lot of restaurants and it's fully booked like before, maybe 6 months, especially the fine dining
Wow.
restaurants, yes. And you will find that day a lot of flowers, the red flowers, and you will find actually that people that actually in the road they are trying to sell us also a red flower. Like, okay, you have it. It's 10 riyals for someone that you love. So it's not something official, but you will find a lot of people actually celebrate about it.
We always have a person selling flowers. We
Yes.
see him every day.
Yes. In every city. It's something.
So the
Okay.
same with the restaurants, they also take bookings and then they will also prepare like a special menu for two. They'll have a like an appetizer, they have the main meal and they have a dessert, and then your drinks are separate. So you have to pay your drinks separate. And then they would sell these tickets, or you have to book your reservation. And then the same restaurants do Christmas lunches. So on Christmas Day, you can also book in advance, like a month or 2 months in advance to go there for Christmas lunch. They don't do dinners, only lunches, because obviously they also want to spend time with their families.
So you're now going to tell me that New Year's Eve is a barbecue with family and friends at home.
Usually, yes.
Okay.
But
Right.
there's places you can go if it's your,
Thing.
let's say your thing, your vibe. If you want to go dancing or you want to go clubbing or, I don't know, go to a restaurant, there's a lot of places you can go. They are usually open till late.
Okay. All right.
But it's safer to stay at home.
Well, that's a different subject. That's a
Yes.
different. Yeah. Okay.
Yes. But safer in the sense of the roads. Everybody's been drinking and driving.
Are they stricter? Are they strict on that in
Yes
on
and
paper?
no.
On paper, yes, but in reality, no.
Yes, but it also depends on the area. So usually in December they have a lot of roadblocks. So every place you go, even here, you'll find four or five roadblocks a week. But like now during winter time, I haven't seen one.
It's too cold.
Yes.
No,
And
the
some of them are very lazy. Very, very lazy. So I know two of the traffic officers. The one is Billy. I drive past him every day, maybe twice a day. And the other one is
you wave to him, say hi, Billy, or
no. No, he's not that friendly.
okay.
And then the other one is Marty. So Marty, I have known since I was 8 years old, and she is a tiger.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she was actually beaten up by someone because she was giving them a ticket for nothing.
I might be a bit
And
upset too.
she was also a taxi driver actually pulled her into the minibus and he drove off with her in the minibus. So she was yes, shame. But she's not, I don't know, she's a very strong woman. She's still a traffic officer.
And very popular with the locals. They take her for a ride, yeah.
Yes, like a forced ride. I'm sure they told her very nicely not to pull us over again.
Fair enough.
But she also gave my mom a ticket many years ago. I think I was 10. So there was a pedestrian crossing in the road, and no people wanting to cross the road, and my mom drove, and she saw it, and she stopped my mom, and she said, "Well, you could have driven over an imaginary person because you didn't stop." So she gave her a ticket for that. So that's why.
This is the South African government making money on the side out of nothing. I mean, oh dear.
You understand why the taxi driver took her.
Yeah. Poor Sarah.
Yes.
You still there, Sarah?
Yes.
Shock, horror, and amazement about the goings on in South Africa, huh?
Actually, it's great to hear this because one of them, like my dream city to visit, it's Cape Town in South Africa. So now I know a little about their culture. So I would be like adapt there easily.
No. When you decide to come to South Africa, then you contact me.
I will actually.
So I can help you to avoid all the Marties and the Billies and the Okay.
I'm debating whether
Yes.
I should tell you the story of my run-in with the Polish police. Cost me a lot of nerves that. I'm not sure whether I should tell the story or not, but we'll see. We'll see.
Maybe some other time.
Maybe some other time, yes.
Okay. Sarah, do you want to ask any questions or do you want to add something?
No, thank you.
Frank, any questions from your side? Something you would like to add?
Oh, I've spoken enough.
Okay. Okay.
How is it the weather actually, Frank, now in Paris? I heard it's hot.
Where here?
In France, yes.
It's hot.
Yeah.
Well, not where I am. As you see, I'm wearing
Yes, I'm seeing
a
that, and that's what
wearing
I'm
a single jumper.
confusing.
It is possibly hot in the south of France, which is fairly normal. Now, where it is extremely hot at the moment is southeastern Europe and Turkey. That is, and they're having, they're having temperatures in the mid 40s, even late upper 40s, with forecasts of even up to 50 degrees, which is unheard of for this part of the world. But where I live, which is in the top northeastern corner of France, right on the border to Germany, it's very unpleasant. It's we have everything. We have sunshine, cold, warm, rain.
Rain.
We have everything all in one day. And when I sort of see what Janita has, it's the same constant temperature, the same sunshine, and it's all very stable. We don't have that at the moment. It's unusual. And the temperature, so it was about 19 degrees today, which is about 5 or 6 degrees below normal. So we should be actually in our mid-20s. This is probably not appropriate, but I refuse to wear long trousers and shoes and socks. Yeah, I will put on a jumper or a rugby shirt or something, but I refuse to wear, winter clothes or autumn clothes in July. And it is chilly, and where I live also it is very windy. And because I live right next to a church, so the house and the church, there's a passageway between it, acts like a wind tunnel, so it's like really really windy, not very pleasant. Sarah, if you have excess sun and heat that you want to export to us, I keep asking the South African delegation, but it's not really forthcoming.
I don't know how to send it.
Put it in
Do
an
the sun
email.
dance.
A little
Put it in
Sundance,
an
yeah.
email.
Yeah,
So
but you.
now this like last week we it's I feel it's like the hottest week ever. The sun is very strong, and also there's like a dirt and it's like a dry wind, but we need to pass August and it become like it start to be more like feel like cool down, especially in the night.
Autumn, yes,
Yes.
autumn and winter.
No, I mean it's what my wife says. She used to travel a lot, and when she was in Dubai, she used to go to Dubai quite often. She said, she really likes it because it's hot but it's dry,
Yes.
and here it's warm and it's quite not humid, not tropical humid, but it's quite humid anyway, and that makes it a bit uncomfortable. But sort of this dry heat. It could be 40 degrees and you wouldn't know it because it's just this dry heat. Yeah. So.
Yes.
Okay.
Actually, we don't have any like an ocean or sea in Riyadh. So it's more drier than Dubai.
Yeah,
Yeah, you need
exactly.
a moisturizer all the time.
Yeah. My wife was actually in Riyadh a couple of years ago. She was one of the, she's a hotel, or is, was a hotel inspector, and she was one of the first female hotel inspectors to
I
inspect.
wish she came in winter because winter, Riyadh, it's
She
like,
did. She did
yes,
actually.
that's
It
great.
was December. It was actually a very long trip. And she had, of course, she had to apply. She's a British national, so she had to apply for a visa for Saudi Arabia. And she also, because she was also traveling to the United States, and she had to apply for a visa for the United States. Single woman traveling on business. And we both thought that the application for the US visa would be quicker than the application for the Saudi visa. The Saudi visa came through in 24 hours. The American visa took 3 days. Yeah. We were really surprised. So, okay, I'm rattling on.
That's very interesting because if you have to apply for a visa here, you wait like maybe a month, maybe 6 weeks.
Yeah.
But that's we are used to that.
Yes.
Yes, it's all Africa time, let's say that.
We have Beta time and we have Africa time.
Yes, Africa
Africa
time, sloth time, something in those lines.
time. Yes.
Okay, so I am going to stop the recording. So thank you very much for joining. I hope you had a lot of fun because I did.
That's the main thing.
Yes. So now I'm going to put you in the hot seat. Frank, you have the last word.
Oh, like so, Sarah, you missed the beginning of this. So we've made a few changes, it is now, not only did Janita have the command of the show without my interruptions, she now actually has the technical control, so I cannot start the meeting. I am here as a guest. And of course, now I'm getting all my horrible things thrown back at me. I have the last word. Janita, thank you very much.
A
It was
pleasure.
entertaining. It was interesting. I learned a lot. Maybe not so much for the English language, but a lot about people's lives and backgrounds and the way they do things, which
Yes.
I find eternally and utterly fascinating. Thank you, Sarah, for giving me a little insight into Ramadan, and how that all is dealt with from the food side. Thank you, Janita, for giving me the list of things that I have to look and see when I get to South Africa, and what not to
List is
do.
getting longer.
Oh yeah, I need more time. I need more time. But anyway, it was wonderful to be here, not to have to do anything except ask, speak when spoken to. Thank you, Janita. It was fantastic.
A pleasure. It's my pleasure. Okay. Thank you, Sarah. Thank
Thank
you,
you.
Frank. Until next time.
Until next time. Okay.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
See
Bye-bye.
you. Bye.